Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning game in Nashville Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I was supposed to tell the fine folks about Fireball last segment, wasn't I, Ian? I did? I'll do it anyways. I love the fine folks at Fireball. We'll touch on them in a little bit. I do want to get to this, though. Again, the big story of the day, UC Soros, an eight-year extension, which really means a nine-year contract at $7.74 million. And it did make me feel warm and fuzzy inside to hear that cut that Ian played during the update of Elliot Friedman saying, Soros told his people, get this deal done. I want to be a predator. And I do like hearing that. It doesn't necessarily move the needle for me that much, but it is nice to hear, especially given what happened with this franchise and Ryan Suter. So it is nice to hear once again. But there is one thing that I think that as somebody who is on the side of not pleased with the news of the Soros deal, there is something that I almost want to just ask everybody's opinion on so we can make a decision today and we never have to have this conversation again. But I do wonder, how much is a goalie responsible for his team winning or losing? You know, the Predators are 5-11 in the playoffs with UC Soros. They have lost playoff games and playoff series to a bunch of average goalies like Arthur Shelovs and Casey DeSmith and Thatcher Demko and Darcy Kemper and Alex Nedeljkovic. I mean, for the most part, outside of Demko, those guys are backups. Now, Kemper's probably a low-end starter, but none of those guys are, you know, Igor Shesterkin, right? Or Andre Vasilevsky. You know, those guys, they're all average. So how important is the goalie to winning? Because the Predators don't win these games, and they don't win these series. And then I sat there after the Vancouver series, and I thought, if I'm going to pay the goalie $7.74 million, I need to know that I can win with him. If I'm going to commit to the goalie for the next 9 years of my life, I need to know that I can win with him. It's like the 84-year-old owner of the Dolphins. If he signs Tua to a contract extension, he either has to hope that Tua has to think Tua can win him a championship, or no, I'm probably not going to win a Super Bowl for the rest of my life, which I'm not sure I would like if I was in his position. So again, how responsible is the goalie? Because a lot of people will say, well, it's not Soros' fault that they didn't score in that game six against Vancouver. And you are partly right. But at the end of the day in sports, there are only three positions where there is a W or an L by your name. Goalie, pitcher in baseball, and quarterback. A starting pitcher in baseball has a win-loss record. In fact, for about 50 years, it was the single most important thing about a starting pitcher. How many wins? How many losses? He's 8-3. He must be good. A third baseman does not have a win-loss record. Do you know what the win-loss record of Barry Bonds teams were when Barry Bonds played? Nope. Can you find it on the back of a baseball card? Nope. Is there any real way to find it? Nope. Doesn't exist. Go to football. You can go to profootballreference.com, and it took me this morning 20 seconds to find out that Ryan Tannehill was 39-24 as the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Anybody know what their record was when Derrick Henry started? Nope. You can't find that out. You'd have to go through every game that Derrick Henry had a little asterisk by saying that he started, and then you'd have to say, okay, let's see, they won that game at the Chargers. Okay, check. They lost that game versus the Seahawks, X. Like, you'd have to go game by game because, again, that's not a stat that we give running backs or wide receivers or tight ends or tackles or, no, quarterbacks. Kickers don't have win-loss records. Quarterbacks. And in hockey, no skater has a win or a loss attached to their name except for the goalie. Why? Because the goalie, like the quarterback, like the starting pitcher, The goalie is, on some level or not, responsible, fairly or unfairly. The goalie is responsible for his team winning and losing. So the way I look at the UC Soros contract today is the exact same way I look at Justin Herbert's contract with the Chargers. I love Justin Herbert. I think he is a great quarterback. I think he's got the size. I think he's got the arm. I think he's accurate. I think he's been in a bad situation. Cheap ownership with the Chargers, bad coach, bad GM, bad drafting. I don't even think he's in a good spot right now, even with Harbaugh, because the poor owners are still there, and he doesn't have a wide receiver to throw the ball to. But when Justin Herbert signed his $52 million a year contract last summer, coming off of one of the all-time greatest meltdowns in the history of the NFL playoffs when they lost to Jacksonville, I said, now that you're getting paid $52 million, and that was a loss for the Chargers that everybody blamed Brandon Staley for. I said, now that you're getting paid $52.5 million, it is your job to win. When you get paid franchise money, it is your job to win. Greg Maddux, great pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher, not a great playoff pitcher. And it was his job to win. Greg Maddux used to say, when people would say, well, you've got an ERA in the threes in the playoffs, but you got a losing record. I believe Maddux's postseason record is 11-14. And they'd say, well, but you're not getting the run support because you got an ERA in the threes. You know, he lost game six of the World Series to the Yankees. I think he got beat 2-0 and the Yankees clinched. And he lost one game, I think 2-1 in the World Series to the Yankees. And Greg Maddux said, you can make any excuse you want, but at the end of the day, as a starting pitcher, you can pitch your team to victory. You can go out there and throw a shutout. Jack Morris pitched his team to a World Series. Madison Bumgarner has pitched his team to a World Series. And you know as well as I do that goalies in the playoffs can steal games and steal series. Just look at Bobrovsky in Game 7. He stole that game. Where's that with UC Soros when you play? And so now that he signed this franchise contract, I mean, to me, he is responsible for winning and losing. And look, it may not be totally fair, but this is how pro sports works. Why do we think Mahomes is the best quarterback? Because he wins. Why do we think that Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback, but not the all-time great quarterback? You look at some of the stats, Aaron Rodgers is better than Manning and Brady. But nobody will ever consider him as good as Manning and Brady because he doesn't win like Manning and Brady. So to me, I just think when it comes to UC Soros, like it's time. If you're going to be this team's franchise goalie, which I think half the fan base is not in favor of, if you're going to be this team's franchise goalie, you need to win. I mean, it's as simple as that. One texter says, how many games did Bobrovsky steal in the finals? The texter says one, which was game one. If a goalie steals one game per series, he's doing well. Soros stole one versus the Canucks. I would argue Bobrovsky stole game seven. Now, that being said, go back to Rene. Go back to that Anaheim series, 2011, 2016, 2017. Rene stole multiple games. In 2016, Rene stole game two on the road. Rene stole game six at home. And he stole game seven on the road, in which he... I mean, the barrage of pucks that he dealt with in Game 7. The Predators lost Game 4 at home in 2017 in the Western Conference Final. And Mike Fisher had gotten concussed, and Ryan Johansson had the surgery, the emergency compartment syndrome surgery, after the Game 4. And I remember talking to our old boss at the time, the old general manager here, Jana Hampton, and I said to her, I go, you know it's over now, right? Like, it's been a nice run, and we've had fun. But tied 2-2 going back to Anaheim without your first-line center or your second-line center, like, you know it's over, right? And she was like, really? I was like, yeah. And then Rene stole Game 5 and Game 6 at home where the Predators got outshot like 42-13. When's Soros going to do that for you? Soros couldn't hold a two-goal lead in the last 3 minutes of game four, the most critical game of the Vancouver series? Or are we just going to say that it's not his job to win these games? Because I can promise you right now, this fan base is not going to be okay with another first-round exit where people are telling, oh, it's not Soros' fault. They're not going to be okay with that. They're not going to be okay losing to Alex Nedeljkovic again and being told, oh, no, it's okay. They're not going to be okay losing to Pavel Francois and saying, oh, no, 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 it's okay. Arthur Shelofs. It's not going to fly. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us next on the program here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's talk Fireball Whiskey. That's right. Fireball Whiskey goes down so smooth and so great that, ooh, before I tell you about Fireball Whiskey, we have a nugget, Ian.
Okay.
From Pierre LeBron. This is from Pierre LeBron saying, the Nashville Predators have received numerous calls on goalie Yaroslav Askarov in the last 24 hours in the wake of the UC Soros extension. The Predators are willing to move him, but have set a high price they feel is warranted. Nashville would like to move into the top five of the first round tonight with an Askarov trade. So far, there hasn't been a fit, but the Predators will keep talking to teams. Damn! 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us next on the program here on Stillman & Company. Fireball Whiskey goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite tonight and to celebrate the draft tonight than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I'll be out on the lake tomorrow. Probably make sure, not that I will because I'll be driving, but we'll make sure that we'll have the Fireball flowing. That's Fireball Whiskey. Again, goes down so smooth and it tastes so great at night tonight. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Given the season that you guys had and the success that you had, has that changed the draft philosophy at all, or are you guys looking upside, upside, upside?
Well, I think we always want to look upside. But we're looking for unique skill sets. I mean, you can't have everybody having the same skill sets, or you just won't have what you need to win in the playoffs. So you want to create some different skill sets. So where we're drafting right now, I mean, obviously Celebrini is the cream of the crop. There's some high-end defensemen probably, and there's probably four or five that are sort of in that next level. I don't think it's a particularly deep draft when it comes to those high-end guys like last year, especially in the, you know, probably the first 8 or 10 picks. This year it's probably a little shorter, but there's some good players. And I've done some research, and we dug into it with our scouts. No matter what you think of the draft, there is always what I call a core player. There's core players sprinkled end of the first and into the second almost in every draft. We're talking about the Braden Points and the Sebastian Ajos and people like that.
That was Barry Trotz on our show on Monday. And now from Pierre LeBron of The Athletic, reporting that the Predators are taking all these calls on Yaroslav Askarov after the UC Soros extension. Now, again, Barry Trotz told Alex Daugherty yesterday that the chances of him trading Askarov or Soros this weekend were slim to none. Well, slim, maybe Barry trying to get into the top five. You heard in that cut, Barry says they're trying to get up there because there are some superstars he thinks at the top of this draft. Here's what I think the Predators have to trade. They have Askarov. They have the 22nd pick. They have their first rounder next year. Tampa's first rounder next year. They have 2 second rounders this year, 2 second rounders next year, and then I think probably 4 other young high-end players, Evangelista, Matthew Wood, Joakim Kimmel, and Tanner Mullendike. My gut, Barry's trying to take Askarov and 22 to get inside the top five, where there are 4 high-end centers in this year's draft, albeit Macklin Celebrini is in a class all of himself at number one. You know, there's a little small guy, I think he's in Montreal or somewhere in Canada. He's a little small center who supposedly is good as Celebrini. He's just really, really small. That might be the guy Barry's targeting. I don't know. But there are centers, and you know Barry wants them. Corey Curtis joins us now on the program from News 2. So, Corey, let's start there. Let's start with Barry Trotz. Let's start with the Soros extension. Your thoughts?
You know, surprised and not surprised. I mean, he made no question – that they were going to sign him. And if you were going to sign him, it had to be long term. But I guess I keep looking at the assets and what you can get. And I don't know what they can get. They haven't been able to get what they wanted for Soros. But I think the main thing is it tells me he wants to win right now. I mean, that's what it says to me. And I know other people say, no, this is what he had to do. And that may be the case, but I think they're trying to win like here and now.
So when you hear that, and you also hear that Pierre LeBrun has reported that they are very interested in Steven Stamkos, and today mm-hmm. Pierre came out, talked to Pierre. Pierre had Stamkos' agent on the record who said Stamkos is going to free agency. So before Stamkos signed, I believe, at the 11th hour in his last deal with Tampa Bay, and in this one where there are better offers on the table, his agent is saying on the record he's going to free agency, and Pierre has said the Predators are making a strong push for Stamkos. What do you make of that nugget, and would you welcome an addition of Steven Stamkos to the Predators? 40 goals last year. He's 33 years old. But at the same time, Barry says he wants to get younger and faster, and I'm not sure this does that.
No, but it does give you a proven center, a proven scorer, a proven winner. You know, another guy who can help you, you know, in the short term, you know, in these, you know, while, you know, because if he does get up in the top five and he does get one of these guys, it doesn't mean they're going to be here this year, you know, because you know how they like to marinate people in this organization. So, you know, you can have that guy, you know, until these younger guys, whether it be Matthew Wood or whoever they get this year and some of these other younger players, it buys them some time and allows them to compete right now. I think that is, and they've got the cap space to do it with. So, you know, if there's a younger version of him out there, that's great. But, you know, he's been in the league since he was, what, 19? So you feel like he's 40 because he's been playing forever, but he's only 33. You know, there should be good years, you know, left on Steven Stamkos.
So this time last year at the draft, you know, Barry Trotz and David Poile were kind of transitioning one to the other mm-hmm. at this point in time, but it was becoming Barry Trotz's team. And I say this, Corey, because, you know, you covered the Predators for a long time with David Poile as the general manager. I feel like with the Predators, we have been conditioned to a certain way, like a certain philosophy of how the organization is run. And the reason I say this is because last year, Barry Trotz was trying to trade up into the fourth pick. And I think at one point, I think the report was four first rounders were on the table in order to try to move up to get one of those top four centers in last year's draft. Yeah. And he got turned away at the end. Then he shocks us by buying out Matt Duchene. Then he shocks us by signing Ryan O'Reilly. Corey, I think that Barry might run this thing a little differently than David. And that's why I actually think that we've all been trained not to expect shocking from the Predators, but for some reason, I wouldn't be surprised if we get shocked this weekend between the draft and free agency.
Well, I mean, look, don't act like David didn't shock people. He did trade Shea Weber for PK Subban.
True.
I mean, that was a large move at the time. So, you know, David did take some swings. He got rid of PK to get Matt Duchene. That was a swing. Didn't completely work out.
But yeah, but that was the least shocking move.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying he took swings, all right? Now, you know, Barry, we're getting to know here in this role, and he looks aggressive, which is, you know, kind of what the new GM is now in pro sports, because it's a win-now era in virtually everywhere, and he wants to win now. He knows he's got Josi, he knows he's got Forsberg, and he knows he's got Soros all in their prime. So to take advantage of those guys, he's got to go after it now. So it makes sense. And he also knows, because he's been with three teams, he knows what it takes to win in this league. And he knows he needs to get bigger, he needs to get faster, and he needs to get more scoring. And he knows he's going to have to pay to get it, and he's willing to do that. You don't get anything for free in this league, all right? The Preds didn't get Ryan Johansson for free. That was when they traded. That was another big move. I mean, Seth Jones was one of the bright young defensemen in the game, and they traded him to get Ryan Johansson, you know, in a move that, you know, he's not here anymore, but helped this team win a lot of games. So Barry is going to take those swings. He is armed to take a very big swing this weekend with all of the draft picks that they have. You know, they can also, you know, make a trade for players who have been, you know, tagged by their teams, you know, as restricted free agents because they have the draft picks to go do that with. So there are some opportunities for him to be aggressive, you know, in a number of different ways. Obviously, you'd like to get one of those top four because that sets you up. I mean, you know, look at Stamkos, look at Kane, look at Ovechkin. Set their teams up for 15 years. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for that core piece to build around for the next 15 years while, when he hopes to be this team's general manager. And he was here forever when they kept looking for a center and couldn't find him. So I understand his, I don't want to say desperation, but desire and aggressiveness to get that guy and say, you know, I'd rather have one Ovechkin, Stamkos, Kane than four, I don't know, Patrick Hornquist. I don't know.
I was going to say Colton Sissons.
Yeah, Colton Sissons, yeah. You know, guys who turn out to be 20, 25 goal scorers, you know? I'd rather have the one guy who can score me 45 in a season every year.
And to that point, Barry has said that. Like Barry has said, I've told the scouts, take the big swings. I can go get you third liners. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, and I think he's exactly right about that.
So to that point, Corey Curtis, News 2, is with us. Let's say that Askarov's on the table to get to the top 10. I just looked it up. According to The Athletic, five of the top 10 players on the board are forwards, and four are centers, which would make sense for Barry's desire to get a center because they don't have a young center in the pipeline. But of the assets to trade, Askarov, 22, next year's first, Tampa's first next year, the 2 second-rounders this year, the 2 second-rounders next year, or even Evangelista, Wood, Kimmel, or Mullendijk, how deep into the toy chest would you be willing to go in order to get one of those four centers, assuming that it's not going to be Celebrini?
Look, now that the Saros deal is done, you know, obviously, you know, Askarov is a piece in there. I think you're one this year, you know, for sure. I think if you think you're going to be pretty good, then your one next year isn't, you know, quite so untouchable. So that's three first rounders. And then, you know, Wood's the center, right?
I think Wood's could be a center, but he plays the wing in college, so I feel like he's a
okay.
Wing.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's about 6'4", 6'5". You know, and look, if it meant getting there, name another piece and I would consider it. I would consider four big pieces.
Evangelista.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow!
I like Evangelista, but is he Patrick Kane, Alexander Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos, Sidney Crosby?
I mean, no. But so to that point, though, it sounds like only Celebrini is that kind of prospect, and then everybody else is probably one step behind that.
Okay. Well, you know, they would know better than me. But like I said, I like Luke Evangelista. Do you think he's ever going to be more than a 25-goal scorer?
I mean, I think his peak is probably a second-line player.
Yeah, I agree. I like him.
I love him.
But not irreplaceable, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting that guy, all right? And you're going to have to pay to get that guy. And I might be crazy. People might be listening to me telling me Corey's crazy out of his mind. I've covered this team for 20 years. I've seen a lot of guys. I haven't seen a lot of dudes. We can all name the dudes. We saw them all. They all stood out. They were all fantastic. One of them just went into the Hall of Fame, all right? And yes, he was a second-rounder as well. It didn't get mentioned in that mix. But, you know, if you think, you know, while only one of those guys is elite, but you think the other four are first-line guys, rock solid, I say go get them.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. I would say, what's your hot take? That sounded like a hot take. What's your hot take this week?
You know, I never thought that I would be covering the WNBA on a weekly basis on Sports Extra.
Okay.
And it has been absolutely fascinating to see, you know, the effect, not only Caitlin Clark, but the Angel Reese and some of these younger, but, you know, having that young rivalry and having everybody know who it is. I mean, they've played like 17 times now. And every time they play, everybody's talking about it. And I think it is absolutely, and I hope they carry through with this. I guess that's where I'm going with this. I hope they can follow through with this. It is such an exciting time for the women's sports landscape to have this opportunity, one they've waited for a really long time. You know, it's been building in college, and now the WNBA is going to get its chance. I hope they follow through with it, and I hope it punches that league through to another level, because it's fun to watch, and it's fun to see the reactions, and it's fun to see the interviews. And, you know, I haven't been able to say that a lot about the WNBA, but right now watching it, covering it some, is fun, and I'm excited to see what's next.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on our program. Corey, thank you.
All right, later.
Yep, Corey, the hot take, Ian. Corey says, Askarov 22, next year's one, and Evangelista to move into the top five.
Got to do what you got to do.
Would you do that?
Askarov, next year's one, this year's one, and Evangelista?
Yes.
I'd consider it.
We got to figure out how good these players are. So I've got the Scott Wheeler, you know, reports up there. I mean, this could be a monumental trade. Again, Pierre LeBrun is reporting that the Predators are taking all these calls on Yaroslav Askarov, and that in order to move him, as Barry'd have to have his socks knocked off, he's trying to move into the top five. Who is in the top five? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Speaking of the draft, be sure to join the Predators for the draft watch party tonight at Draft Picks Restaurant Bar inside of the Ford Ice Center starting at 6 o'clock in Bellevue. Celebrate the newest members of Smashville. Might just be one tonight, but who knows. The newest members of Smashville while enjoying food and drink specials, door prizes, games hosted by Wayne D., live broadcast from Max Herz, and more. More details at NashvillePredators.com/draft.
Obviously, Askarov wants to be a starter in this league, and he was drafted to be a starter in this league. I think any goaltender that was taken at the position that he's been in, and it's tough to get a major read on him so far. He spent a couple years in the American Hockey League. He's put up good numbers there. He got the start with Nashville this year and actually did quite well in that start. So the sample size is incredibly small on him at the NHL level. I mean, I guess there's a world where he could be a backup for a year or two at that point, and then you move on from him and you try to find some value. So I don't know what Nashville's plans are, but I at least in the short term. But I think we know what their long term plans are right now. After this news coming out, it's UC Saros. He's their long term plan. So short term, I still think is up in the air. I don't think you have to deal him right away and just get him out of the organization. But at some point, they're probably going to have to move on from that player, and maybe you let him play backup to Saros for a while, get his feet wet in the NHL, hope it goes well and jacks up that trade value a little bit, and you got yourself a nice piece to move to bring in something else.
That was Jake Hahn on SiriusXM NHL Radio. And again, this went from yesterday Barry Trotz telling the Tennessean, I'm not trading Yaroslav Askarov, to Pierre LeBrun saying the Predators' phone is ringing off the hook for teams wondering about Yaroslav Askarov, and Barry Trotz is saying, I'm trying to move into the top five in order to do this. Now, again, Corey Curtis just said on the show, he would trade Askarov 22, next year's one, and Evangelista to move into the top five. And according to The Athletic, of their top 10 players, five are forwards, four are centers. So who are these players? Let me say this about the NHL draft. Like, the Predators are picking 22nd. I really don't give a rat's ass about who they pick 22nd tonight, if they in fact stick and pick, because who they would pick tonight is probably going to end up being a second-line player. Maybe we're all lucky enough that he becomes a good player, but it's probably going to be a second-line player or a third-line player, and he's going to be down in the minors for 2 or 3 years. And, I mean, I'd rather worry about Steven Stamkos and what they're going to do in free agency than worry about, you know, some 19-year-old out of Nova Scotia. You trade into the top five, that's a different discussion. I think we can all agree. So we haven't really talked about any of these players because the Predators haven't been discussed of trying to move up there, or there being some realistic scenario where tonight we could see the Predators pull off a move in order to get there. So how good are these players? You are not getting Macklin Celebrini. He's going to San Jose. But Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, they have their player comps. So here's what they say about Macklin Celebrini, who's going number one. A little bit of Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, and Patrick Marleau. Sign me up. Then there's a bunch of players that are defensemen. There's a winger from Russia who they have in their mock draft going at 4, Ivan Demidov, who they write, I see some David Pastrnak and Artemi Panarin in. Aren't, Ian, wouldn't you say Pastrnak and Panarin are kind of different players?
Yeah, I guess so. Pastrnak's pretty much more of just more of a sniper.
Yeah, he's like a big, tall sniper, and Panarin's kind of more of a gets into the hard areas and puts the puck in the net. And the
and Panarin's more of, yeah, he's probably more of a playmaker as well. You know, Pasternak's more of just a straight shooter.
Okay, so then there's a bunch of defensemen. They have, let's see, Artem Levshinov, who they compare to Noah Dobson, Zeev Buenum, somewhere between Josh Morrissey, John Carlson, and Chris Letang. I mean, if Shea Weber's a first ballot Hall of Famer, surely Chris Letang is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Zane Pareka, very limited comps, but Erik Karlsson has the same look there. Do you think they could be moving up to go defense?
I mean, I guess, but doesn't really seem to fit.
Sam Dickinson, they say, has a little Noah Hanifin or a little Moritz Seider. I don't even know who that is. Cam Fowler. Ooh, I do like Cam Fowler. I've always liked Cam Fowler. I mean, I know Cam
Seider
Fowler sucks
on,
now, but.
Detroit.
What's that?
Seider was on Seider. Detroit, yeah.
Cole Iserman has, they write his comp, is Phil Kessel with a little more jam. Berkeley Catton. So these are the players I think the Predators would be making the trade for. Berkeley Catton is one of the high-end young centers out there. There's him. There's Caden Lindstrom. There's Taj Iginla, which is Jerome Iginla's son. And I believe there's another one. But here's who they have. Berkeley Catton has a comparison of what people thought Jonathan Drouin was going to be. I thought Jonathan Drouin was going to be a bad freaking boy. And then he just went to crap. You can have him today. He's a free agent. He's not what I thought he was going to be. But they say what they thought Jonathan Drouin was going to be. So that's Berkeley Catton. Caden Lindstrom is Roope Hintz with more jam. Konstra Helenius, they write, I've thought more about each of Thomas Vanek, Marco Rossi, and Nick Suzuki. And Tej Iginla is a cross between Kyle Connor and Tyler Toffoli. So let's go back to Corey Curtis's trade. Askarov, 22, next year's one, and Evangelista. Ian, would you do it for what people thought Jonathan Drouin was going to be?
I mean, he was pretty rumored to be, or I guess projected to be pretty good and very dynamic. He hasn't really quite panned out. He doesn't quite have the size that you would like for a top line center.
Well, Berkeley Catton would be in Celebrini's class, supposedly, if he wasn't small.
Yeah. Got to worry about size. I worry about size. Yeah.
Remember what Floyd used to say whenever we talk about Arvidsson? Said when they all play hard, which is the playoffs, the big good guys always beat the big or the good little guys. And look at McDavid. I mean, look at Crosby. I mean, they're not small. Yeah. I mean, there is something to that. PK Subban and Roman Josi aren't small.
That's probably why Braden Point fell to where he did.
Probably because he was small. I'm not sure I would do that.
I think I probably would.
I mean, Evangelista, the question is how good is he going to be? And I think he probably maxes out as a second-line player. What about Caden Lindstrom, Roope Hintz with more jam?
That sounds promising.
But would you trade all that for it? Again, we're talking about Askarov, next year's first, 22, and Evangelista.
Yeah, I don't know about all of that. I don't know. Probably not.
So here's what I think Barry Trotz is doing. I think Barry Trotz is trying to get into the top five, but I think he's trying to do it with just Askarov and 22. Like, I actually think that those four things would probably get you into the top five so that you can take a, you know, Taj, I don't know, T-I-J, Taj Iginla, who they say is a cross between Kyle Connor and Tyler Toffoli, I mean, I don't think that you get that with just Askarov and 22, but that's what Barry's probably trying to do. And then the question is, if you don't want a young long-term goalie, how many other teams want a young long-term goalie who you can go get? And I think that's a fair question. Ryan in Nashville says, I agree. I hate giving Saros 8 years with Askarov ready to go. I don't care about the money, but 8 years is too much. 5 to 6 years would have been better. And I think the Predators would trade Askarov for the 10th pick. Or do you think the Predators would trade Askarov for the 10th pick from the Devils? Again, would you have to trade 22? Because all of these guys, I think this is a total of 10. You know, the comps are TJ Oshie and Jordan Kyrou and Martin Natchez and Nazem Kadri and Brent Burns and Evan Bouchard.
Those are all tier two players.
Right, but wouldn't you trade your goalie if you've got the goalie signed for the next 9 years? Wouldn't you trade your young goalie in order to get a tier two player?
Probably.
Would you not trade your second goalie in order to get Kyle Connor right now?
Yes, I would.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like
if you can
Barry
just
looks
do
at these
Askarov
guys,
in 22.
Yes, and he says Askarov for 10. So I think he's saying you keep 22 and you move up to 10 so you can draft Martin Natchez or Nazem Kadri or Jordan Kyrou. See, when Corey was talking about the trade that he would make with Askarov 22 next year's first and Evangelista, he was talking about Crosby and Malkin and Kane and those guys, and there's only one guy that's that good, and that's Macklin Celebrini. Again, Celebrini, Crosby, Taves, Marlowe. That's the only, you know, bingo superstar kind of talent that they have here. And again, we're talking Crosby and Taves. Shea Weber's a Hall of Famer. Everybody's a Hall of Famer, but those guys are legitimate Hall of Famers. 615-737-1025. More your phones. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. 1025, 1063 The Game.
You know, I think that there's a lot of talk about what this means for Askarov, and we'll see. But the one thing I love about Barry Trotz is he's super blunt. I think it was Alex Doherty this week that was talking with Barry Trotz. Doherty covers the Predators for the Nashville Tennessean. And Trotz said some quote. He's so good. He said, Yaroslav Askarov will be ready, not when you think he's ready or the fans think he's ready or I think he's ready. He'll be ready when he's ready. So, I mean, we'll see how the player feels. You never know. But the Predators, they are not rushing this guy. And it was...
He's still only in his early 20s.
Yeah, like, but you know how some kids
I know,
are,
but it is. It's,
they want to play.
I know it's first-round pick and all that, but he's a goaltender.
There you go. That was 32 Thoughts talking about, hey, what are they going to do there as far as this is Askarov is concerned. And again, Pierre LeBrun saying that the Predators are not really all that interested in moving Askarov, but... They're trying to get into the top five, and they will use Askarov in order to get there. Boy, people on the text line are mad at Corey Curtis. My goodness. Again, Corey Curtis would move into the top five. He'd trade Askarov 22, next year's first, and Evangelista in order to be able to do it. So I have up in front of me the Athletics rankings on these players. There's only one Tier 1 player, which is Macklin Celebrini. Tier 2, a right winger, Ivan Demidov from Russia. A defenseman, a right shot defenseman, Artem Levshinov, a left shot defenseman, Zeev Boyum. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce any of these.
It's hard,
names.
Yeah.
Zane Pareka is a right shot defenseman. Sam Dickinson, I can pronounce that. Sam Dickinson is a left handed shot defenseman. Cole Iserman is a U.S. national team player. He is the seventh, he's a left winger. Who they have in here. Berkeley Catton is a center out of Spokane who is, again, he's 5'10", 170. And if they say he's 5'10", you know, I think they say Saros is 5'11 or something like that. Saros is shorter than me. So he's definitely not, and I'm 5'8". So Saros is definitely not 5'10", 5'11". So this Berkeley Catton is really more like 5'8", 5'7", something like that. Another defenseman, Caden Lindstrom, 6'3", 210. And then Konstra Helenis is a center. He's part of Tier 3. Taja Ginla starts off Tier 4 at number 12. When you get down to where the Predators pick at 22, you know, there's Sasha Boisevet, who's Canadian, Boisvert, and I'm looking at what they say he would compare to. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Middle six upside. So that's what you're looking at 22, is middle six upside at 22, whereas there's top six upside if you move up there. So what is it worth in order to get there? Let's go to Ryan, who's up next, has been waiting patiently on the program. Ryan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
What's going on, Jer? Hey, so as to what I texted in, the Devils have also known they would move John Marino. So what if a trade of the 10th overall pick, John Marino and Alexander Holtz, who they took 8th overall in front of a Scarf, which doesn't fit the system, for a Scarf, Sisson, and either Fabro or Lazan and the 22nd overall pick? Would you turn that trade down?
Okay, so 10, Holtz, and Marino for Askarov, yep. 22, Sissons, and who else?
Either Fabro or Lazan.
Okay, we'll give away Fabro because he sucks, so we'll put him in there. Ryan, thank you. Ian, who is Marino?
I believe he's the defenseman.
Is he any good?
Not really, no.
So then let's just take him out of this. He must have a bad contract or something. Whatever. Let's take him and Fabro out of this then. And Sissons, because they don't want Sissons. Okay, so 10 and then Holtz, who's the former 8th overall pick in the 2020 draft, who I did see was on the trade board. Him for Askarov in 22. Yes. Again, Askarov, like, there's no value anymore with Askarov. You've got Saros signed for 9 years. There's no point in keeping Askarov around if you can go get a top six forward or a potential first or second line center. There's no reason to have Askarov here because, again, when you draft a guy in the NHL, they're 3 to 5 years out. So a pick today, even if you move up, unless you're getting Macklin Celebrini, who's going to play right away, if you get a pick today and you move all the way up, this guy's not going to be a Nashville Predator until 2028 anyways. So it's not like, you know, you're going to just, it's going to happen now. Well, because you just gave Saros the contract and the way that they want to really take their time on Askarov, if he was eventually going to be your starting goalie, he wouldn't be your starting goalie until 2028 anyways. So why not make the move of Askarov in order to get up there and go get a guy who will be ready by the time that you might turn it over to Askarov? It seems pretty simple to me. Now, again, I don't know who this Marino is. And what's the rule? If I don't know who you are, you suck. Joey from Bellevue says, do any of these top players have the potential to be big boy forwards or defensemen? Why would they trade of that position? I wouldn't. You mentioned no one wants the players you don't want. Everyone knows the position they are in. And now properly think we are doing you a favor taking Askarov off your hands because of the Saros deal. I'm not exactly sure that's the case. Like, if you're, and San Jose's a bad example, but San Jose drafted Will Smith last year, and he'll come over and play this year, and they're going to get Celebrini. But if they weren't in the position to get Celebrini and they'd made that trade last year, would they look at it and say, hey, let's get our goalie of the future? Like, if there's a team that looks at it and says, let's get our goalie of the future, I could see them making a deal, and you get 22, so you get that extra piece. But as far as the big boy forward, the one guy who projects to be that is Celebrini, and you can't get him. 615-737. And then the other question is Kyle Connor a, is Kyle Connor like a big boy forward?
He's an elite goal scorer. Sometimes I think he is. I think he's an elite goal scorer.
And so then those secondary players might be big boy forward, so it might technically count. But again, that's if you consider, if you're looking for Crosby, you got to get Celebrini and you can't get him. But if you're looking for Toffoli, if you're looking for Kyle Connor, if you're looking for some of these other guys, then maybe by getting up to six or getting up to five, you can get that kind of player. This one guy in the text line goes, John Marino, catch up. This guy's all mad about the players I don't know. Here's the rule, texter.
Yeah, John.
If I don't know who you are, you're not very good because I watch the Predators every game. So I know all the good players in the NHL. There is not a good player that I don't know because I watch enough of the games. But I don't watch so many games that I know all the Scarbinis on all the other teams. So if you're good, I know who you are. If you suck, I've never heard of you, and so I don't want you on the team. That's how it works. And this theory has been tried and true. You know, I mean, I remember when I was told Kyle Turris was good, and he sucked. I remember when I was told that Mikhail Granlund was good, and he sucked. I remember when I was told that Cody Hodgson was good, and he sucked. So if I don't know who you are, you suck. And I don't know who John Marino is, so he sucks. That's how it works. I hope people don't like that, but that's how it works. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I am not a fan of the UC Soros trade, but I am a fan of Barry Trotz being the GM of my team, which means there's just one thought. There's just one thought that I have on this that I want to get to, and we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.